You are listening to the OneOfUs.net podcast network. One of Us is a podcast and video network funded all but entirely by donations and subscriptions. We do accept pitches for audio-based or banner ads, but on a case-by-case basis. If you're interested in that, contact us at oneofusnet@gmail.com. With the amount of audio and video content we generate, it is expensive and extremely time-consuming to keep things running. Please go to the webpage oneofus.net and sign up for a subscription at $2, $5, $10, or $25 and get a ton of bonus content. One of Us needs and appreciates all your support. This review is brought to you by the streaming service Film Movement Plus, which opens up a world of award-winning entertainment, including some of the best films from around the globe. Among the hundreds of titles waiting for you to discover are some of the best films from 2020, including The Wild Goose Lake, Zombie Child, and more. Available on Roku, Apple TV, and Amazon Fire, as well as streaming online and on mobile, Film Movement Plus is priced at $5.99 a month. But as a listener of Digital Noise, Film Movement Plus will give you a 30-day free trial, plus the next 3 months at 50% off when you use the promo code NOISE. Sign up today at filmmovementplus.com. This movie review also comes for subscribers at Time Lord level or above, an uncut, unedited, longer video version of the review. Become a subscriber and check it out. I know this is wildly unrelated, but I'm watching this movie, The Courier. And there's something mellifluous about the expression, the courier. You know what I mean? Just saying it. Sounds nice coming off the courier. And I just kept thinking, the courier. And then somehow my head went to that old Kids in the Hall sketch where one of the guys is singing about terriers. And I just in my head had this whole thing of him going down the streets of London, pointing at Benedict Cumberbatch, going, couriers! I don't know why. That amused me greatly. It's nothing like what happens in this movie, which is a very sad, historically based, true story.
What a way to open. It's like, hey, think about dogs and Kids in the Hall, but it's a sad movie.
You know, it's hard when you're going to talk about a movie that's like, oh, this is serious stuff. This is very serious. Serious things happen, and it was a serious drama, and there's not really anything funny. You got to throw in some Kids in the Hall.
Yeah.
That's what they were missing in this movie, Little Kids in the Hall.
It's a Band-Aid on the emotional wound that this movie creates.
Well, Kids in the Hall is Canadian, too, also. So representation, very cool.
Shut up, Bradley.
Wait, what does that have to do with this?
Nothing.
Because he's in Canada. That's what he's trying
in
to
Canada.
Do.
I thought it was like, oh, one of the guys in the story was Canadian.
Thought I fit
like,
right in with you Americans. My cover's blown now.
Oh, my God.
Well, in Canada.
Has there ever been a Canadian spy? Is that a thing?
Yes.
Okay, we'll talk later.
I do not think
anyway.
Wait, actually, now I'm deeply fascinated by this. Let's talk about that now.
No. Sorry. We have to do the review of the film The Courier, this new movie directed by Dominic Cook, starring Benedict Cumberbatch as Greville Wynn, which is like almost as British a name as Benedict Cumberbatch.
6-1.
The true story of a British businessman who was literally just a businessman who was recruited by MI6, I guess it was not MI6 at that point, but the Secret Intelligence Service, because he would regularly go to Eastern Europe for his business. And they're like, you go over here anyway. We've got this guy here, Oleg Penkovsky, who actually has been credited by the United States government as being the most productive Soviet double agent of all time, source of information, like most amount of helpful stuff. He's saying this guy really wants to help us out. And he's like, Benedict Cumberbatch's character, he's not a special agent. He's just a businessman. I'm just a businessman. It's just business.
Wait, is he a businessman? I didn't catch that.
Dude, they should have had Ice-T be cast in this role, as I'm saying. It's not personal. It's business.
Oh, God.
Man, let's recast this movie. Put Ice-T in this. That would be amazing. Inspired casting.
I mean, we don't have Ice-T here on our cast, but Bradley is Run DMC, apparently. So, hello, Bradley.
Hello. I don't have an impression of Run DMC.
missed opportunity.
I don't know. You can sing Aerosmith if you want. I've got Melina.
Hello. I don't have a fun hat.
That's sad.
Yeah, sorry.
Next time I demand a fun hat. And Righty Roo.
Hello, everybody.
Oh, this is one of these Oscar-y type films. Why didn't this come out in actual Oscar consideration time? Well, not every film that doesn't quite make the cut and gets shoves off into the dead zone is necessarily a terrible film per se. I don't think, certainly don't think The Courier is one of those films, but I could also see why they were like, this is not going to exactly compete against the big runners this year either. But the story here, as I said, British businessman contacted by MI6, said, we need you to go over there, contact this guy. They started a long process of him being basically just a courier for information to bring back that he didn't even know what it was. He just like took the package, delivered it back to the MI6 until everything went terribly wrong. We've got Rachel Brosnahan, who I, by the way, love completely and deeply and needs to get cast in roles where she gets more to do than this.
Yeah.
From Marvelous Mrs. Maisel as the main contact from MI6. Mirab Nedinzi?
Nenedze.
Is that actually how it's pronounced?
Nenedze. I'm spelling it right. So
I don't know. He's been in a lot of films that none of us have ever seen, but a lot of films. So I'm going to assume that he's good at what he does. And Jesse Buckley as the wife of Benedict Cumberbatch, who also is like a very talented actress who's been in a bunch of stuff and singer, who is here given the role of the wife who's just going, he's cheating on me, isn't he? Is he cheating on me? I think he's cheating on me when he's like, I can't, literally cannot tell my wife what's going on because of the situation. As it goes on, he goes from businessman who's like, I'm just a businessman, it's just business, to going like, this shit is important, to something that eventually leads into the act of spycraft that led to the end of the Bay of Pigs scenario. I mean, literally, without it, the world might have ended in nuclear war. I mean, if you've ever read about what happened with the nuclear missiles that Russia was trying to set up in Cuba, it was a half second from midnight on the apocalypse clock.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
But the question here is, whereas I think this gives you a good version of the story, tells you what was actually going on with it, is it a very watchable film? And if so, what is it that makes it that way or doesn't make it that way? And that's what I've got my crew here to answer. Go.
I liked it. I think we all liked it. It's just that a lot of the other secondary characters, they didn't really get fleshed out quite a bit. And I honestly think it's such a misuse of Jesse Buckley and Rachel Brosnahan. I was like, you got two powerhouses in this movie. And they're like, you've kind of seen this story before with a man who's put in a situation where he can't tell his family of what he's doing and it's all secretive and all these things. And you've seen that. And it kind of plays out the same way as I guess other stories like that do. It just seems like they didn't really get to develop them that much. I mean, maybe Rachel Brosnahan just a slightly bit more, but in the end, I just wanted so much more from them. Benedict Cumberbatch does carry it enough to where it's definitely watchable. Like, I really loved, watching him to see what the situations he would get in.
So many things I wanted to say about this. I think I wrote 3 pages worth of notes. He did an amazing job like he always does. And I think that it was with Imitation Game where Benedict Cumberbatch proved he could carry a film as a leading man in addition to a television star. And if there's anything that this movie reminded me of, it was that in its structure and the way that it laid out its characters, even the color scheme that it used. I couldn't help but compare it to that kind of the entire time that I was watching it, even to the point where when Rachel Brosnahan first drives up to the MI6 headquarters, I was so expecting to see Mark Strong's character show up from The Imitation Game and be like, there still is no MI6. But yeah, I thought he was amazing all the way through, and he went through quite a physical transformation through this, which is shocking.
Was that real? I was wondering, because
it looked real.
Totally. And there was never a point I went, oh, this is fake. But I was like, this is kind of a small film, all things considered, for somebody to lose what looked like 50 pounds.
Seriously.
He didn't go into machinist territory or even Matt Damon from Courage Under Fire territory, but he's so good at selling the physical anguish your body would go through if you lost all that weight. And if you were mentally broken and rebuilt and broken again, as the gulag practice is, I've heard. I've never done any of that to anyone. He was great at it.
God willing.
If you have to that say is what I'm it, saying.
Bradley. The fact that your title on our video screen says not a spy, I'm like, methinks thou dost protest too much.
I'm not spy. Don't worry about Bradley. He's not a spy. No big deal.
Never.
This film, it goes light on giving glory to proper protagonists.
Former Soviet Union.
I actually really did love the relationship between Benedict Cumberbatch and Mehrab Nenedze. I actually thought that despite the fact that it's clearly more Benedict Cumberbatch's movie than it is him, all the scenes that the two of them are together, I really cared about the two of them. I don't want anything bad to happen to either of you. And so when inevitably things go wrong, I actually did have a pretty strong emotional reaction to it. I didn't think I was going to, given the fact that, like you were saying, the script is a little inconsistent. It's telling more than showing, but even so, I think that the two of their acting, as they play off of each other, it's still strong enough to where when that emotional part does come in, I was almost in tears.
That was a really good scene, too.
It was.
I like that quite a bit.
I think it just makes you want more of it. Mm-hmm. And there's, it feels like they filmed scenes where they were talking and bonding, and the director was like, this is going to be more powerful if we just put music over it and don't have them actually hear what they're saying. And I was like, what? It's not a wildly long film, either. I mean, it's 111 minutes. I was like, okay. It's not like you were like, yeah, we got to cut this down for time. So I love both these actors. I think they're both doing a great job. The film really wants you to feel something for the Russian guy here, and I don't think it ever quite pulls it off. It does completely pull off you feeling something for Benedict Cumberbatch's character, who is surprisingly not as hapless as you would think. I feel like a lesser director would have played it for laughs almost, and that's not there.
That was smart.
Like there'd be an umbrella sequence or something silly where he's almost caught, and then he's like, oh, I'm so and quickly gets out of the situation, you know, slapsticky, like you're saying. And nothing like that happened.
Just so charmingly befuddled.
I mean, to be fair, this is the first theatrical film. There's been a television version of this story done in Britain, but it's the first film version of this ever. So there's still plenty of room to do the Sacha Baron Cohen version of it.
Isn't there always?
See, that's what I was going to say. I'm glad that there is a television version of this story, because that's what I would like to see. I would just like to have seen this like spread out over like six episodes, because I could have seen a lot more of like their relationship and how they were telling us they're like, but we're really good friends. And like, I assume because I've seen now watched the movie, but sure.
There's that one scene that says to you, these guys like each other, really like each other, where they go see the Bolshoi and Benedict Cumberbatch is just blown away by it and he's crying. And there's that scene where the Russian guy looks over him like, yeah, it's real smooth, right?
You should see their early work.
Oh, wow, you dig this too, huh? Mm-hmm. That was like the only scene that I felt that connection where it was really strong. And there's scenes where they meet each other's families, and it was like, this feels like the beginning of a scene, not the entire sequence.
It does. Yeah. It feels more like setup. The actors must have kind of known, all right, well, there is a lot more implied than there is actually spelled out. And so we're going to have to try to make up for that just by us playing off each other. And I think they did really well at that, because I thought that the two of them had a lot of chemistry as actors. So I still kind of bought that connection, despite the script, I think. What I really did love about this movie, it's very much a mirror of what we just came out of as a country. Much more extreme, obviously. But that same sense of the idea that someone is stuck in a situation where they don't want to turn their back on their country. They don't hate their country. They just really hate what it's turning into. And I think there's a really great moment in there where Rachel Brosnahan's character, who is a CIA agent, flat out asks the Russian character, look, we understand that this is dangerous for you. And he goes, I'll tell you what's dangerous. This guy is dangerous. Here's something you need to know. I'm a patriot. I'm not doing this because I hate my country. I'm doing this because this person is bad for everything that I love. And as somebody who, like all of us, just came out of Trump America, it resonated with me where it's like, I don't hate this country because this guy's in charge. I do love my country. I just really hate what this guy's doing to it and how the rest of the world is looking at us. What his character was going through was so reminiscent of that. And if there was just a big problem with it, I'm like, I wish they'd explored that more from his perspective. And instead, I feel like they cut it just short.
Yeah, I completely agree with you there. It's underexplored. As Wright said, why isn't this a miniseries? I say that all too often these days, especially about historically based stuff. I find I'm like, I would like to have seen more. It doesn't work as a film. It's too compressed. Look at the world we live in now. There's no reason why to make a movie instead of selling it to HBO and going, why don't you make 6 episodes instead of just doing 1 hour and 45 minutes? I don't understand. There was 6 episodes worth of stuff here.
Yeah.
And I don't know why this is the way you would choose to do it, except that there's still, to some people in Hollywood and other film communities, a sort of taboo against television as if it's not as good.
And that's so funny. Like, all these actors, too, that I can think of right now have all done miniseries. Like, Jesse Buckley was on one of the best ones with Chernobyl, for God's sakes.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. It was really good.
Well, let's go to final thoughts, right?
I think overall, I just liked it. I don't think I'll ever really watch it again. It feels like a TNT movie on a Saturday night at 11 p.m. Like, oh, The Courier. And because I think it's competently made for the most part, underwritten, I think we can all agree on. And it's in a way admirable the way that they got all these people in the movie that they casted, because they're all fantastic actors. I just don't think they were utilized all the way. But I thought they all did a pretty great job. I mean, even the chemistry between Jesse Buckley and Benedict Cumberbatch was really great. I thought, like, just the opening scenes when you get to see their married life, I love how it was shot and how they talk with one another. I was like, they love each other and they have a really great rhythm. I thought it was really fun that way. And I still think that Benedict Cumberbatch was really fun to watch. And I could also argue and talk about the tonal shift of the movie that takes place towards the very end, where it becomes even more severe. You're like, whoa, I thought this was kind of a slight jaunty romp in a way, but then it goes very dark very quickly. Overall, I liked it okay. And I would recommend it. 7 out of 10 spy cameras.
Yeah. Brad?
I don't know much about Cold War history, but I do know that there are entire warehouses of information about the Cold War, and it's very big and serious and boring, but it doesn't have to be, of course. My take on it is, I hope they don't launch those missiles, but if they do, everybody hide under your desk. In Soviet Russia, desk hides under you. Like, that's the extent of my knowledge of...
Your Nicolas Cage impression's gone off the rails, man.
Right? Is Adam Sandler's excellent as well.
So, for a lot of this movie, I was like, all right, I can do this. Political thriller. Yeah. Spies. Information. Everyone's going to die. And this is my own ignorance of not truly understanding the headspace of those decades. Before shit hits the fan and they're like, let's wash our hands of this and walk away. That's when I was like, hey now, because Cumberbatch gives this rousing monologue, this is actually a pretty freaking good movie. And from there, it just started running for me on how important and scary and the same but different people can be in the fear of having your entire world destroyed. So that was phenomenal. And as we all know, Cumberbatch did a phenomenal job of portraying that emotion. Just a regular salesman, stiff upper lip, chup, chup, cheerio, whatever British people say, to I'm not abandoning this duty or this camaraderie for anything.
Oi, it's not personal, it's just business.
Governor?
Just business, then give Mary Poppins a pence and tell her to go away.
Now your Nicolas Cage's impressions have gotten on track again. That's good.
It's a slow burn, like an actual slow burn, not like a pretend one where you want things immediately and it's only been 3 minutes. So I'm going to give this 7 out of 10 toy pins.
Ooh.
Melina?
I think I like this a little more than you guys did. I actually would watch this again. And when I was done, I actually was kind of surprised at how many people I would want to recommend it to. If you're not a big fan of movies like Zero Dark Thirty, where it feels like you're watching a freaking dossier on a screen, then this is definitely more watchable and accessible than something like that, and a hell of a lot more entertaining. You actually care about these people. So I can definitely throw it a big compliment there. Problems with it, Rachel Brosnahan, with the caliber of actors that she is right now, it's very noticeable how underused she is here. So waiting for more of her, and then when I didn't get it, it felt a little jarring.
Yeah, considering she's an important part of the story, and they don't let her do anything.
They even give her a Clary Starling moment where she's walking through a room and you see these guys just kind of like leering at her. And I was like, oh, we're going to get more of that, right? No.
You didn't see the deleted scene where Gorbachev throws his sperm at her through the jail cell bars?
Gorbachev, he hissed at you. What did he say? But...
I can smell your allegiance. I sadly cannot.
I ate his liver with a nice bottle of vodka. But no, I thought that, I think she milked what she had. It was just, it was because how good she was and how powerful of a stage presence she is, it was weird that she was not in there more. But Benedict Cumberbatch is amazing as always. I would recommend this on performances alone. The guy who did the cinematography on this, I need to throw him some kudos. Sean Bobbitt, the guy who does all the cinematography for Steve McQueen.
Oh,
yeah.
Cool. 12 Years of Shame, a Slave and Shame.
12 Years of Shame, yes.
12 Years of Shame and Game of Thrones, for that matter.
I thought this movie looked beautiful. Wish I could have loved this, but I think at the end of it, I just really liked it. So I'm going to give this 7.5 out of 10 Yakov Smirnoff monologues.
You like this movie? It's funny. In Russia, Gorbachev is hero film.
What a movie.
I think this is one of those movies that I'm like, okay, I know what the Bay of Pigs is. I know a certain amount about it, but this was an aspect of it I knew nothing about. And as I often say about films that are telling real life stories, if the base story itself is interesting enough, that's a lot that a film has going for it right there, even if the film itself is mishandled. And I do feel like this film is mishandled. Benedict Cumberbatch is their big strength here. The director's like, just focus on that guy. But it feels a lot like, you know, other people who are good actors too, maybe give them some equal time. I know Cumberbatch is the big name, but it felt very uneven throughout the whole thing.
It did.
But I ended up enjoying it for no other reason, the fact that this is a super fascinating story. I didn't know about this spycraft story. And, you know, I mean, when it comes down to it, spycraft ain't James Bond in real life. Most of it is actually kind of dull. I mean, like, there's like, it's a lot of taking pictures of papers and giving pictures of papers
and passing
not a lot
it
of
through just little handshakes.
Yeah, not a lot of actual gunplay or pussy galores or what have you. That stuff isn't really happening.
That is such a shame.
You know, it feels like it'd be more of us would be spies. You know, certainly not Bradley, who's been clear about his position about
what
being
not
a
spy at all.
I've never heard that term before.
That's exactly what a spy would say.
I think this is fine. I liked watching it once. I really did. I don't think it's good enough of a movie that I'll return to it. It's certainly not terrible by any stretch of the imagination. It just could have been so much better. And it's always frustrating when you can see right in front of you all the things that would have made this better that they didn't do. I'm going to give this 7 out of 10 cigarette packs that apparently are never searched during the Cold War period. I saw a Smithsonian exhibit about a spycraft exhibit where they were like, here's actual spycraft shit. And yeah, that's totally true. There's all kinds of fucking like cigarette shit, like cigarettes. Nobody searched cigarettes. They were like cigarettes that literally, I'm not even fucking with you, real life shot out poison darts. Like you'd open it up and pff, would shoot out a dart with poison in it, like Curare.
Well, I'll say this, as a smoker, you don't fuck with people's cigarettes, okay? Yeah. So, I mean, that makes sense to me. I was like, yeah, okay, so cool. Historically accurate, yeah.
Yeah, they're going to kill you one way or the other.
I take an extra look the next time you open a pack is all I'm going to say.
Right. Check what the warning label says on the side. May cause death of international spies. Oh, this is not the brand I'm looking for.
I think most of them just say may cause death.